This is Agriculture Today.
Federal Reserve lowering its benchmark interest rate by 0.25 September 17th. First cut of 2025. The chairman, Jerome Powell, said the move was a risk management step to support the labor market while inflation remains above target. Fed also raising its 2026 inflation outlook, signaling persistent cost pressures across the economy. For ag, the modest cut should slightly reduce borrowing costs on operating loans. Land notes and equipment financing could give some relief to producers under heavy debt loads, but at the same time, input costs for fuel, fertilizer, and labor remain elevated. It limits overall margin gains, and a softer U.S. dollar could lend support to farm exports, but again, trade demand remains the dominant driver for prices. Transportation costs for U.S. grain exports eased in the second quarter of 2025, lowering landed cost for most routes and boosting inspection volumes. USDA's Ag Marketing Service reports Gulf route transportation costs fell 1% for both corn and soybeans compared to last year. Ocean freight down 24%. Quarter to quarter, costs dropped 18% for corn, 22% for soybeans thanks to cheaper trucking and the seasonal reopening of the Upper Mississippi River. Corn inspections through the Gulf reaching 10 million metric tons or 394 million bushels. It's up 43% year over year. Soybean inspections totaling 106 million bushels. In the Pacific Northwest, transportation costs fall 7% for corn, 6% for soybeans. This is year over year. Inspections there rose to 268 million bushels of corn, 7 million bushels of soybeans, and that's up 222%. Looking ahead, USDA projecting U.S. corn exports to climb 2%, soybean exports expected to fall 9%. U.S. housing construction slowed in the second quarter of the year, with single-family permits declining in nearly every region. That's according to the National Association of Home Builders. Large metro areas posting the sharpest decline at 3.8%, while rural micro-counties buck the trend, recording a 1.8% increase, their fifth straight quarter of growth. Collectively, less densely populated regions captured just over 50% of the single-family market share. That's the highest level since early 2023. U.S. dairy markets are under pressure as butter and cheese prices both declined week over week. That's according to USDA and data from CME Group. Butter fell to its lowest levels since November of 2021 on sharply higher supply. Cheese markets also slid, with analysts noting exports remain competitive, but any further weakness could spur renewed domestic demand. Shell egg prices holding steady in most regions, though West Coast markets ease slightly. Supplies have improved, but seasonal demand and rising highly pathogenic avian influenza or HPAI cases, now 8 confirmed by USDA over the past 30 days, keeping markets firm. Meanwhile, U.S. milk production remains strong. July output up 3.4% year over year, largest gain since May of 2021. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on achieving our dual mandate goals of maximum employment and stable prices for the benefit of the American people.
In their first move of 2025, Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, announcing a benchmark rate cut.
While the unemployment rate remains low, it has edged up. Job gains have slowed, and downside risks to employment have risen. At the same time, inflation has risen recently and remains somewhat elevated. In support of our goals, and in light of the shift in the balance of risks, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to lower our policy interest rate by a quarter percentage point. We also decided to continue to reduce our securities holdings. I'll have more to say about monetary policy after briefly reviewing economic developments. Recent indicators suggest that growth of economic activity has moderated. GDP rose at a pace of around 1.5% in the first half of the year, down from 2.5% last year. The moderation in growth largely reflects a slowdown in consumer spending. In contrast, business investment in equipment and intangibles has picked up from last year's pace. Activity in the housing sector remains weak. In our summary of economic projections, the median participant projects GDP to rise 1.6% this year and 1.8% next year, a touch stronger than projected in June. In the labor market, the unemployment rate edged up to 4.3% in August, but remains little changed over the past year at a relatively low level. Payroll job gains have slowed significantly to a pace of just 29,000 per month over the past 3 months. A good part of the slowing likely reflects a decline in the growth of the labor force due to lower immigration and lower labor force participation. Even so, labor demand has softened, and the recent pace of job creation appears to be running below the break-even rate needed to hold the unemployment rate constant. In addition, wage growth has continued to moderate while still outpacing inflation. Overall, the marked slowing in both the supply of and demand for workers is unusual. In this less dynamic and somewhat softer labor market, the downside risks to employment appear to have risen. In our SEP, the median projection for the unemployment rate is 4.5% at the end of this year and edges down thereafter. Inflation has eased significantly from its highs in mid-2022, but remains somewhat elevated relative to our 2% longer-run goal. Estimates based on the Consumer Price Index and other data indicate that total PCE prices rose 2.7% over the 12 months ending in August, and that, excluding the volatile food and energy categories, core PCE prices rose 2.9%. These readings are higher than earlier in the year as inflation for goods has picked up. In contrast, disinflation appears to be continuing for services. Near-term measures of inflation expectations have moved up on balance over the course of this year on news about tariffs, as reflected in both market and survey-based measures. Beyond the next year or so, however, most measures of longer-term expectations remain consistent with our 2% inflation goal. The median projection in the SEP for total PCE inflation is 3.0% this year, and falls to 2.6% in 2026 and to 2.1% in 2027. Our monetary policy actions are guided by our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. At today's meeting, the committee decided to lower the target range for the federal funds rate by a quarter percentage point to 4 to 4.25%, and to continue reducing the size of our balance sheet.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Well, they can only partially offset it at this point.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX on how biofuels could fill the hole created by a lack of soybean exports.
President Trump's goal seems to have been to, in the midst of the trade war, support the farmer with domestic demand via the biofuel program. So every decision handed down to this point has been farmer friendly. Yet we still don't have clarity on our overall biofuel program. We started off the summer with three boxes to be checked off. One was the 45Z funding mechanism. The second was the RVO blending requirements. And the third was the small refinery exemptions. We finally got the 45Z funding mechanism in the quote unquote one big beautiful bill. And it was very farmer friendly. But then it came down to the blending requirements in the RVO, which the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency released over the summer. And that was very positive as well. For example, ethanol production blending requirement at about 15 billion gallons for 2026. Biomass diesel blending at about 5.6 billion gallons for 2026, going up a little bit incrementally to about 5.8 billion gallons in 2027. So that was very positive. But what about the SRE? I should say one other thing. It also put in a caveat of 50% credit for renewable identification numbers. That's the mechanism for forcing the blending in the market, and one of the ways of financing the production, and put a 50% credit, RIN credit in there for imported feedstocks. So that looked pretty bullish for demand for the feedstocks. But then it went into the comment period and it got a lot of opposition to the 50% RIN value from the oil industry. And then it released small refinery exemptions for years 2016 through 2024. And then eventually 2025, meaning that there were 2.1 billion, almost 2.2 billion RINs that were could be allocated back. And so then it proposed here this week several alternatives for either reallocating all of those toward larger refineries, reallocating half of them toward larger refineries, or another alternative, some just taking input, anything between 0%, 25%, 75%, and a 45-day comment period. So the bottom line then is that we still are seeing a curtailment of production of biomass diesel because refiners simply don't know whether they're locking in a profit or a loss if they produce now. And so that's still curtailing production, curtailing demand for crush. So when you look overall, USDA has an estimate of about 2.5 billion bushels to be crushed this next year. That could be challenging to get if we don't get clarity soon. On the other hand, that compares to exports. It has it around 1.7 billion, 1.68 billion bushels. That's likely to be ratcheted down if we do not get a trade agreement with China. With President Trump rumored to be moving to China or going to Beijing later next month during the APEC conference, there is some glimmer of hope that perhaps there will be a trade agreement that will force China to buy the soybeans in order to get access to the U.S. consumer market.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
Changes to government policies continue to evolve, and their effects on the economy remain uncertain.
Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, on Wednesday.
Higher tariffs have begun to push up prices in some categories of goods, but their overall effects on economic activity and inflation remain to be seen. A reasonable base case is that the effects on inflation will be relatively short-lived, a one-time shift in the price level. But it is also possible that the inflationary effects could instead be more persistent, and that is a risk to be assessed and managed. Our obligation is to ensure that a one-time increase in the price level does not become an ongoing inflation problem. In the near term, risks to inflation are tilted to the upside and risks to employment to the downside, a challenging situation. When our goals are in tension like this, our framework calls for us to balance both sides of our dual mandate. With downside risks to employment having increased, the balance of risks has shifted. Accordingly, we judged it appropriate at this meeting to take another step toward a more neutral policy stance. With today's decision, we remain well positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments. We will continue to determine the appropriate stance of monetary policy based on the incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks. In our SEP, FOMC participants wrote down their individual assessments of an appropriate path for the federal funds rate based on what each participant judges to be the most likely scenario for the economy. The median participant projects that the appropriate level of the federal funds rate will be 3.6% at the end of this year, 3.4% at the end of 2026, and 3.1% at the end of 2027. This path is 0.25 percentage point lower than projected in June. As is always the case, these individual forecasts are subject to uncertainty, and they're not a committee plan or decision. Policy is not on a preset course. The Fed has been assigned two goals for monetary policy, maximum employment and stable prices. We remain committed to supporting maximum employment, bringing inflation sustainably to our 2% goal, and keeping longer-term inflation expectations well anchored. Our success in delivering on these goals matters to all Americans. We understand that our actions affect communities, families, and businesses across the country. Everything we do is in service to our public mission, and we at the Fed will do everything we can to achieve our maximum employment and price stability goals.
Federal Reserve cutting their benchmark rate by a quarter point, first move of 2025, and on tariffs.
We have begun to see goods prices showing through into higher inflation, and actually the increase in goods prices accounts for most of the increase in inflation, or perhaps all of the increase in inflation over the course of this year. Those are not very large effects at this point. And we do expect them to continue to build over the course of the rest of the year and into next year. And, you know, it's also possible and that there may be effects on employment, but that I would say if you're looking at why employment is doing what it's doing, that's much more about the change in immigration. So the supply of workers has obviously come way down. There's very little growth, if any, in the supply of workers. And at the same time, demand for workers has also come down quite sharply. To the point where we see what I've called a curious balance. It's, you know, typically when we say things are in balance, that sounds good. But in this case, the balance is because both supply and demand have come down quite sharply. Now demand coming down a little more sharply because we now see the unemployment rate edging up.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Pork producers from around the country descended upon Washington, D.C. for NPPC's Fall Legislative Action Conference, lobbying congressional lawmakers on several issues important to the U.S. pork industry. Before visiting Capitol Hill to meet with their members of Congress, producers heard from USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs, Luke Lindberg, and Representative Randy Feenstra of Iowa, a member of the House Ag and Ways and Means Committees. On Wednesday, NPPC President Dwayne Statler, President-elect Rob Brenneman, and other NPPC leaders met in the White House and the office of the USTR with Trump administration officials. During those visits, producers called for passage of a new farm bill that includes a fix to California's Proposition 12. They raised concerns about the Make America Healthy Again Commission's recommendations related to food production, which stigmatize modern farming. They asked that the H-2A visa program be expanded to allow year-round workers so it can be used by livestock producers. And they urged support for efforts to grow exports by opening new and expanding existing foreign markets through trade agreements and market access deals. NPPC's biannual legislative fly-in is an important opportunity for its members to help advance various issues of importance to the U.S. pork industry and for policymakers to learn about the benefits the industry provides in their districts, states, and throughout the country. The Trump administration's Make America Healthy Again Commission released its Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy, which aims to address childhood chronic disease, but also has potentially heavy impacts on farmers, sound science, and healthy food. These impacts remain a concern, but the strategy shows signs of progress from the initial MAHA Commission report released in May. Following the initial report, NPPC voiced its concerns publicly and in meetings with the Trump administration, warning against the dangerous language used to describe farmers' work, and offered to partner in transparent, risk-based research to further public health. NPPC is pleased with many of the steps taken in the strategy released this week, but emphasizes there's more progress to be made. NPPC joins 263 other ag organizations in urging Congress to prioritize the development and passage of a Farm Bill 2.0 that fully reflects the evolving needs of American agriculture. In a letter to the congressional leaders of both parties, the farm groups urged lawmakers to devote the necessary resources to ensuring timely debate and action on a new five-year blueprint for U.S. agriculture. The last farm bill was approved in 2018. It was extended when it expired September 30th of 2023 for 1 year. That extension lapsed at the end of fiscal year 2024 on September the 30th, although some of the bill's provisions continued through the end of the calendar year. The Farm Bill sets farm, conservation, forestry, and nutrition policy and authorizes various ag programs, including ones related to foreign animal disease preparation and prevention and export promotion. In their letter, NPPC and the other ag organizations pointed out that the full suite of programs across all Farm Bill titles is essential to the viability of our agricultural system and rural communities. Mike Davis, Washington.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
And that's the problem when it comes to President Trump. There's a lot of threats, there's a lot of talk, but we never know quite what it's going to look like when it really comes out.
Josh Linville is StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer. He talks about President Trump's threats of sanctions on Russian fertilizer exports.
Right now, it seems like he's trying to rally the troops, rally the allies to get everybody on board and say, okay, we're sick and tired of this Russian invasion of Ukraine. We need to put a stop to it. We got to start turning the screws. And so if what we're trying to watch from a fertilizer standpoint is what happens if he goes in, whether that's sanctions, tariffs, whatever the tool is that he uses, what are the after effects? Because, of course, Russia is a major, major manufacturer and exporter of almost every major fertilizer out there. So when we look at urea, they are the biggest exporter. They are the single biggest exporter of urea around the world. So these tools, is it just going to be something that the Western allies, NATO members, people like that use? Or does the entire world use it? Because then all of a sudden it's a matter of, does it just disrupt trade flows? Because obviously the U.S., Russia is number one supplier of urea. Or does it start to shut down all of their exports altogether? And now all of a sudden we're talking about losing millions of tons of urea exports a year. UAN, I cannot describe how devastating it would be if the U.S. put sanctions or tariffs in place against Russia. Russia's last lone major UAN destination is the U.S. Half of the imports the U.S. brings in every single year come from Russia. If we were to, the U.S. were to put sanctions on Russia and block those flows, suddenly we've lost half of our imports. That's a major supply loss. Suddenly domestic manufacturers realize we just, you know, got rid of one of our biggest competitors. That makes them bullish. Suddenly, the rest of the world, who's come to rely on U.S. tons to replace what they're not producing, start to realize, oh, no, we've got a bigger uphill battle with U.S. farmers, Canadian farmers, trying to get the same ton. So all of these factors start to lend in, and it turns into a situation where prices start to move higher. Phosphate, same thing. If all of a sudden we start shutting down Russian exports, we're already suffering because of the lack of Chinese exports. You start shutting off Russia, they're one of the big five. It makes a bad situation worse, and right now the farmers can't handle worse.
Recently, India purchasing 2.03 million tons of urea.
So they just wrapped up 2.03 million tons purchased, and they didn't have to go very far to get it. The lowest offers, I want to say it was like the lowest five offers for both coasts, sold everything. So it was finally one of those situations, but they didn't have to go all the way up the offer list to get the tons that they were looking for. Everybody wanted to participate in this one, but they capped it at 2 million ton. And if you look at it, for the last three tenders, they got about 5 million ton. They've done fantastically. Oh, finally, after 6 months of struggling and failing and falling short, they finally got a lot of tons coming in. So to your point, what comes next? If you go off of a lot of the estimations out there, the market's kind of been saying, we think they need 1 million more ton through January. Now, that is to meet what normal demand would be. There's a lot of reports that demand has been very, very good because of the good monsoon season. So we could see that bumping up into the 1.25, 1.5 million ton range. However, we've also seen India struggle with supplies, struggle with stockpiles. We would not be surprised at all if they don't come out here, say, last week of September, first half October, and say, we're going to go for another 2 million ton. Not only would that cover the rest of this year's fertilizer year demand for urea, it would also give them a little bit more stockpile to start off next year. So they're not, you know, running off of low, low inventories like they have for a while. They don't want to deal with that. That raises the ire of the farmer. That obviously brings up something the opposition politicians can bring up. They want to make sure supplies are plentiful. The government is seen as the one reliable for making sure product is in place. They want to make sure they're doing that job.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
When you raise dry land cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dry land acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.